It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Hello and welcome to the Rob Carson Show on Liberty One TV. Also available on audio podcast, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Plus, Google Play, Audio Boom, YouTube, a whole bunch of different places. Anyway, welcome to the show. We are brought to you today by Fountain of Life Chiropractic. Fountain of Life Chiropractic. Alex Jones is the doctor there, and he is terrific. If you're in the Kansas City area, I would strongly suggest using his services. I've got this thing now from looking in a monitor every day and a webcam that the disc in my lower neck is just agonizingly painful. And it's so sensitive, even the skin is sensitive there. I'm going in to have Dr. Alex look at it, and I know it's going to work because I've used chiropractic before, and it's incredible. You've got compressed discs in your back, whether you've got neuropathy, a host of different things. Fountain of Life Chiro can take care of it, okay? So why don't you give them a buzz? 816-741-4711, 816-741-4711, or fountainoflifechiro.com. They are on Congress Avenue in Kansas City. So I went to bed last night fairly early, and like so many, was horrified at the news of the day, which of course involves a mass shooting, the worst in history, in Las Vegas. Stephen Paddock, 64-year-old man from Mesquite, Nevada, blew out the windows in his 32nd floor hotel room in Mandalay Bay Resort. He had a cache of weapons. I've heard as many as 10 weapons, fully automatic weapons, and you'll be able to tell by the sound that I'm going to play you, and I've got a lot of sound I want to get to, from what happened. There are a lot of people who, I mean, it literally took seconds for celebrities and the left in this country to go full-on political about this. And I think that is shameful, and it's a cliche. It's just a cliche. I listened to some radio shows, and they were already talking about the politics of it, and it's too early. It's too early to do that. We've got to digest it. We've got to let the bodies cool, for crying out loud. And honestly, if your immediate reaction when something like this happens is just to immediately go political rather than go, I don't know, how about prayer? Prayer is a good thing, right? Do you think prayer would be a good thing? I listened to a press conference and out of Vegas on KXNT Radio, where I did some time last week. And I thought that the presser featuring the governor, the attorney general, the mayor of Las Vegas, I thought it was amazingly inspirational. I also thought the president's address to the nation was inspirational as well. Nothing political. One person who already made it political is Hillary Clinton. She talked about how silencers, okay, I think she said, imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier to get. That was at 9:03 this morning. The shooting took place at about 10 p.m. last night. So already she is making it political. Here's the problem. Silencers don't silence guns. I was looking at several people responding to this online, and a silencer on a gun like that would still mean that the gun is as loud as a jackhammer. So if you've ever been near a jackhammer, it's loud. It's really loud. And that's why you have to wear ear protection when you operate it. So that aside, the gun control thing always comes up immediately, and it's remarkable to me, quite honestly. It gets faster every time. Did you notice that? It gets faster every time, literally within minutes. I turned on the TV this morning and I saw the headline, and I opened up my computer. I saw it on the computer this morning first on one of the many websites that I perused to do my show prep. Immediate horror. Go in and I turn on the news and see, what's going on there. The story is developing. Since 11 o'clock last night, guy was on the air at KXNT all night long, stayed on this morning until 11 o'clock my time, and is coming back this afternoon. So a yeoman's effort by that group of people at KXNT for covering this. Nobody expects something like this. But I walked in, I watched it, and I just my mouth agape. And my immediate response was just empathy and utter sadness. And unfortunately, some people, it isn't that way. It's, oh, there you go. If we had gun control, this wouldn't happen. Enough. Here's the thing, and it's a little warm in here today, by the way. We've got a lot of lights. I've got lights. You know, it's a professional broadcast studio, you know. But there are a lot of ways people kill each other. This was not the largest mass murder in the history of the country. The largest mass murder in the history of the country was 9/11. They used planes. We didn't ban planes. We did utterly change how we fly. The second largest was Oklahoma City. And that was done with diesel fuel and fertilizer. So people will find a way to kill people. Madmen will find ways to kill people. If it's not a gun, it's a U-Haul truck. Religion of Peace, twice over the weekend. Once in France. Trying to remember where the other one was, but fortunately they were bad at killing people, because the death toll was very low. But madmen are going to find ways to kill people. Now, what do we do about this? What do we do? Are we going to immediately, when we're at an outdoor festival, suspect that someone could be shooting from a distance? We can't do that. In Vegas, I have a feeling, and the casinos, the hotels, they will react in a very big way. This cannot stand. And that'll probably mean that your luggage, everything that you bring to your room, will be checked out. That's just the way it's going to be. Will it be an inconvenience? Sure. But that's just what's going to happen. As far as overreacting and thinking that every hotel in the country is immediately going to become a vantage point for an assassin, that's insane. The chances of this happening again, who knows? Is it going to happen 100 times in the next year? No. But madmen will find a way to kill. With this, I don't know what you can honestly do. I don't know. This was a unique event. This man was had been in the hotel for a few days. His wife is a person of interest. She was out of the country. By the way, the death toll now is at 58 as of 11:40 Central Standard Time in Kansas City, Missouri. The number of wounded is 515. It's just it's beyond imagination, isn't it? And again, I'm still trying to digest it. I know many of you are still trying to digest it. But right now, all we can do is I think, personally, is to pray. Okay? Think about, you know, problem solving, but don't panic. Most important thing is that the people who are in the hospital right now recover. That's the most important thing. Las Vegas law enforcement, I believe, has put together a GoFundMe page. As soon as I find out, I'll share it, because there are going to be a lot of people who were utterly unprepared for this. I mean, think about this. 50 families now have to pay for a funeral. 58 families. Ungodly. So I'll just say, God, please bless them. Bring them through this hard time. And I mean that. And I don't like to proselytize, but I just think it's important. I think it's important. Let's go through some of the audio. I have before me a variety of different things that I want to share, including this is essentially the Vegas shooting in real time. It's a longer piece, and I may just let it go, and I may stop it periodically. But here is the Jason Aldean concert last night. It was called the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival. And Jason Aldean was on stage when this started happening. All right, let me get the audio fired up again here. We have a little slight technical glitch. I have a service, and if I don't reboot it constantly, it does this. So let me go ahead and reboot it and start again. All right. Here we are. Now, this is when Jason Aldean runs to the back of the stage. Now, you'll notice a pause between the shooting. That is either him loading another clip or grabbing another weapon, I'm assuming. And I had heard from someone this morning who was there that this provided people an opportunity to get up and run. There were problems with people being able to get out because in concerts, you need to keep people from getting in who haven't paid. So unfortunately, there were a lot of trample injuries and a lot of people were just quite simply not able to get out of the way. There's another clip. Time to run. Unbelievable. Now, the shooting went on for 10 minutes, and that the police were able to get there, find the hotel room, and end this in 10 minutes is absolutely remarkable. You look at a police department, no one's prepared for this. I mean, there are drills, certainly, but nobody truly is prepared for this because this has never happened before. But they were able to find it. They were able to go in, blast the door, take the guy out. This is the actual call from the officers, one of the officers who was in charge of getting into the hotel room door, and a brief analysis from the Today Show this morning.
Sit on the suspect's door. I need everybody in that hallway to be aware of it and get back. We need to pop this and see if we get any type of response from this guy to see if he's in here or if he's actually moved out somewhere else.
Got me. All units on the 32nd floor. SWAT has explosive breach. Everyone in the hallway needs to move back. All units move back.
Breach.
And then the explosion to take the door out of that hotel room. Talk to me about what's going on.
Let me frame this for you. First off, you can detect in that officer's voice the anxiety, but the calmness, the combination. He is about to go into a room that he does not know what's in that room. An individual or individuals, maybe more than one, who have just murdered dozens of people down in that plaza. There'll be a stick, as they call it, of 6 to 8 officers, maybe more. And what he is advising is he's about to blow open the door with one device, but then they will probably toss in immediately after that what they call a flashbang, which is a closer device that sets off a lot of light. It is intended to disorient anybody in the room. And then in they will go. Trained to go into this room to cover it. They will have had the opportunity to get a floor plan for that room before going in, so they have a sense of what the room looks like, but they have no idea how many people are in there, what they're armed with, other than that they are extraordinarily well armed. And I cannot compliment enough everything I'm hearing about the performance of that Las Vegas Sheriff's Department.
They were amazing. Let's hear the officer again.
I need everybody in that hallway to be aware of it and get back. We need to pop this and see if we get any type of response from this guy to see if he's in here or if he's actually moved out somewhere else.
Copy. All units on the 32nd floor. SWAT has explosive breach. Everyone in the hallway needs to move back. All units move back.
Breach.
There you go. They're not paid enough. They're not paid enough to do what they do. Unbelievable. Unbelievable bravery from a police officer. Unbelievable bravery. We cannot say enough about our first responders. We cannot say enough about our police. Yes, there are some bad eggs. But I don't believe you should kneel during the national anthem to protest them. Here is Sheriff Joe Lombardo of the Vegas Police with his first presser.
This evening, we had calls come into dispatch of multiple shots being fired from the direction of the Mandalay Bay towards the Route 91 concert that was taking place on the east side of Las Vegas Boulevard. Through investigation and response, we determined there was a shooter on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay. Officers responded to that location and engaged the suspect. He is dead currently. He has been identified. He is a local resident. I will not release his name at this time.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know I've already said his name. That was, you know, from a little while ago. Then I heard somebody this morning on KXNT radio say, you know what, don't say his name. Because all he'll do is join the ranks of those who are glorified by sick people. You know, Dylann Roof, Timothy McVeigh. So here is a witness. She saw her daughter's friend actually get shot and said that people were hiding under her car. She was able to. And I'll tell you what, I heard stories of great bravery today. Of people using their vehicles to get the wounded to hospitals. I saw a pickup truck this morning. It kept bring them in, and they loaded people up. And people came together last night in an unbelievable fashion. And it's also, this is a country concert. So chances are you probably had a lot of military or ex-military in it. And some of these people acted like a triage, battlefield triage experts. There were people putting fingers in gunshot wounds to stop the bleeding. Unbelievable. Here's this woman being interviewed after witnessing her friend's daughter being shot.
Everyone said hit the floor. So everyone was just like literally laying on top of each other, trying to get out of the way. And the shots just kept coming. And there was a man that was shot right there. They were trying to take him out. He was all bloody and he was unconscious. And they got him out. And everybody's hiding everywhere. I mean, they're hiding under the bleachers and the stanchions and anywhere they could. And everyone's telling us to run as fast as you can. My husband and I ran out toward our car. And there were people hiding underneath my car for cover. And there was a gentleman that was shot. And he said, can you help me? And so I put him in my car, and I had like six people in my car, people without shoes, running just to get away. And
you knew you had to get them help.
We had a gal that was with this couple that the guy had been shot in the backside, and I thought he was going to be okay, but he was bleeding. And so he wasn't as serious to shove him into the ambulance that was right there. So I took him in my car, and she said, can I drive? Because she worked for Metro. And we got to the hospital so quick, you wouldn't believe it. But but anyway, she drove, and I went to Sunrise Hospital. Right. And my husband went in another car with another man that was unconscious to UMC. And I'm here right now because he's in there with my friend whose daughter is only 18 and she got shot.
Prayers. Here's a firefighter last night talking about the scene.
All of a sudden, we heard some pops when Jason Aldean came on to perform. And honestly, at the start, we all thought that it was probably like an electronic thing, a malfunction or stuff.
Feedback
or whatnot. And everybody was kind of, I'm like, hey, it's okay. Everybody's all right. And then all of a sudden, people started dropping by the stage area and up front by us. It was pretty much like a war scene inside. I've seen a lot of stuff in my day with the fire department. It was hard to see even the bodies that are outside down the street here that were carried probably a half a mile from the incident. Honestly, I probably pronounced 15 to 20 people inside. It's a very sad day.
58 people. 58 people. Here's a witness at the concert on the phone.
The concert was going on, and we heard...
This is from NBC News, by the way.
What sounded like firecrackers going off, like someone setting off a firecracker. And then we heard again. It was kind of quiet, and then all of a sudden, we heard what sounded like a machine gun, and people just started screaming that they were hit and to get down. And then about every 20 seconds after that, you would hear a round of machine guns and people just dropping. I mean, hundreds of bodies all over the ground.
My Lord.
We finally kind of heard a break. We got up and just started running, and as we're hearing them, just hoping that they weren't going to hit us as we were running. And as when we started running out, there was probably a couple hundred on the ground.
Unbelievable. Here is a security guard describing what happened.
We started hearing something that we thought was at first fireworks. Once the crowd got quiet, we started noticing that it was actually gunshots, and it was just multiple gunshots. People were hitting the floor. People were running. Myself and a few of my other partners, we were trying to help people keep low instead of standing up while the firing was going on. And myself and a few other security guards, some other civilians, we all gave hands helping transport bodies. There was a lot of people that were shot, unfortunately. Two people that I know for sure that were trampled. A few others, the one gentleman was shot top of the head. Another gentleman was shot in the leg. A lady was shot in her side. There was another lady that caught another round to the side of her head. The area that we had for medics that was set up for the event was completely flooded with people. I myself carried... With other people, we carried at least four or five people to the EMT area. It was an ugly scene.
What's amazing is not only the police officers who ended this shooting, but also all of the medical personnel that was there to handle this. I mean, can you imagine? 515 injuries. 515 injuries, some very critical. Here is a female witness who heard the shooting on the way to the show.
We're actually staying at the Mandalay Bay, and we were coming back to go down and maybe even go see the concert that we knew that was across the street. And then when we were coming out, we just heard it sounded like firecrackers at first, but that didn't sound normal. It sounded like machine guns, and it was like several rounds, like hundreds of rounds. And then it stopped, then it sounded like different gun shooting, and then it stopped a minute, and then it started again. It's hard to explain. And then my boyfriend had me move behind a building here because it just didn't sound right. And then we hid behind a building, and we could just hear hundreds of rounds going off.
I want you to hear the beginning of this again and think about this. It sounds like, and you know, so many times you and I have seen news footage of battles, whether it be Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever. But this is what it sounds like. That is, think about how many, how fast, how rapid fire that is, how many bullets just were fired there alone. There's the clip. What a sick son of a bitch. I hope he roasts in hell. Just unbelievable. Just firing down on people at random without any regard at all. Where is your soul? What is wrong with you? ISIS claimed responsibility. That's been discounted. That's not true. I don't know. Honestly, there's no preventing things like this. There's no way to tell, you know. Now there were a few tells with some people, the Pulse nightclub shooter. There were some tells with the Fort Hood massacre. There were some tells there. Nadal Hassan had on his business card, "Soldier of Allah." That sometimes there are tells, and then sometimes this makes no sense. The Vegas Fire Police Department said that this guy was a person of interest, but it really wasn't anything major. I mean, he wasn't known to be a threat. He was known to local authorities, but the sheriff said that he was only cited by authorities one previous time. He moved to near Vegas. He was retired. He's 64 years old and lived in Mesquite, Nevada, which is about 80 miles northwest or northeast of Vegas. So 64 years old, retiree. That does not fit the profile, right? Generally, the profile is a young man. That's just the way it is generally. But this certainly, nobody could tell. He lives in a retirement community, for crying out loud. We'll find out more if his wife, who is a person of interest who doesn't live here, they were able to get some information from her, get her into the country. There was a story going about, and a young woman was interviewed, 21 years old, and she said that there was somebody telling her and a woman in front of her that everybody was going to die. You're all going to die. It's what she said. Now, apparently the person who was saying this was escorted by the authorities out of the concert. This is before, of course, the shootings began. Here she is.
And I mean, were you thinking, oh my gosh, this woman told us that before we left?
Yeah, I thought it had a positive correlation to it. Like, obviously, she was telling us that in either to tell us to warn us or to tell us that we were all going to die, and she was part of it. So,
okay, so they want the description of this woman. Describe to me what this woman looked like.
Her and her boyfriend were both Hispanic. They were probably about shorter five footers, probably about 5'5", 5'6". They just look like everyday people. Just.
Can you tell us anything more about them, what they look like? Why were they escorted out? Were they escorted out because you were feeling uncomfortable about what they said?
Yes, because she had been messing with the lady in front of her and telling her that she was going to die, that we're all going to die. So they escorted her out to make her stop messing around with all the other people in front of them, but none of us knew that it was going to be serious.
Who knows? Who knows? Could be an amazing coincidence. They might have known something. Maybe they knew. Maybe they were staying next to this guy in the hotel. I don't know. Who wouldn't stop him? Who wouldn't reporting to authorities? You know, that's something completely different. There was a lot of, we live in a, you know, obviously a different time because everyone has a recording device. Everybody has a camera. A lot of people recorded video there. And a lot of it was because they were recording the concert. So it wasn't like, okay, we're being shot at. I'm going to go ahead and run, you know, my cell phone camera. Here's a little bit of ambient noise. Now, the a lot of people, of course, had no idea where the guns were, you know, where they were firing. A lot of people thought it was just somebody on the ground nearby. And with the proximity of hotels to one another, there is a lot of sound that gets bounced around. So it might sound like it's coming from the Luxor, or it might sound like it's coming from wherever. So there was a good deal of confusion. Nobody really knew it was coming from the Mandalay Bay, and they apparently the shooter started shooting on one side of the room and then started shooting on the other side of the room. So he moved around. Here's some audio recorded by a guy who was in a concert tent, kind of a beer garden, taking cover. Just can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what it must have been like last night. Just unreal. Here's another witness to what happened last night.
Heard the what sounded like gunfire, and then people on stage started scrambling, and everybody just kind of ran from that point.
Where'd you go?
Actually stayed local in the concert venue, hid behind a little table,
right.
And until everybody cleared, SWAT came in and I left, and then I went out and started. There were a couple of bodies there, and started loading them into the back of a truck.
Were they dead?
I don't know if they were dead or not. One of them looked like she was probably dead, and the other two, I'm not sure.
Unreal. Finally, there was a security guard, actually not a security guard, one of the stage hands, I guess, got interviewed. I think this was by Fox News.
Well, we heard a bunch of, actually it sounded like firecrackers in the beginning, and then it went off again after that, and then all of a sudden everybody was just running off the stage, and we hear shots coming from, like, it looked like the southwest corner of where the stage, maybe like where Mandalay Bay was coming from, and now we're getting all these random reports, there's random shooters all over the place.
That's normal, fluid.
Hotels.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of us have been saying this is a long time coming, and here we are with the sanctuary city. We have a lot of people with a lot of crazy ideas.
Just before, I know we don't want to get political here. I'm just got you.
No.
Yeah, I understand. Question for you. You were on stage. Yeah. How many people did you see down? I met a lot of people.
I know firsthand about 4 to 5 down that I had to call Metro or EMTs to come over and get these people out of here, get them some kind of shelter or some kind of aid, something. Shots just kept ringing out here and there, and it's a mess. It's a mess. There's a lot of people that are injured.
Unbelievable. These things bring out the best in people. The worst in people came out of this evil SOB who's roasting in hell. I want to play a little bit of the president this morning from his briefing. I thought it was exceptional.
Thank you. My fellow Americans, we are joined together today in sadness, shock, and grief. Last night, a gunman opened fire on a large crowd at a country music concert in Las Vegas, Nevada. He brutally murdered more than 50 people and wounded hundreds more. It was an act of pure evil. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are working closely with local authorities to assist with the investigation, and they will provide updates as to the investigation and how it develops. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. The speed with which they acted is miraculous and prevented further loss of life. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful.
Amazing. And it is. It is absolutely miraculous that they were able to stop it as quickly as they did. A madman with a machine gun. With 10 weapons is what I heard. Obviously, a massive cache of ammunition to find him, to bring the force necessary to end this to a hotel room where this was happening within 10 minutes is remarkable.
The ones they love so dearly in this terrible, terrible attack. We pray for the entire nation to find unity and peace, and we pray for the day when evil is banished and the innocent are safe from hatred and from fear. May God bless the souls of the lives that are lost. May God give us the grace of healing, and may God provide the grieving families with strength to carry on. Thank you. God bless America.
Okay. I thought they were eloquent remarks by the president, and a very faith-heavy message to America, which I think is what we need. I think it's what we need. He also announced he was going to be going to Las Vegas, I guess, on Thursday. So anyway, let's move on to some other stuff. There is other news to be talked about. Did you watch football this weekend? I watched it on and off, and then ultimately the TV was hijacked by my wife to watch HGTV. So we watched HGTV because when you need to, you know, just forget about stuff, you watch HGTV, you watch Fixer Upper. So we did that. 52 players protested the national anthem over the weekend, 52, and 30 of them were from one team, San Francisco 49ers. They faced the Arizona Cardinals. The entire team lined up in two rows with the front row kneeling as the national anthem sounded over the loudspeakers. 49ers posted a tweet simply with the word together. They say that the statement said that the football is a unifier of people and pledging to continue defying those who oppose the protests. Quote, at its purest level, football is a unifier of people from all walks of life, different socioeconomic backgrounds. Every corner of this country and around the world, as players, coaches, ownership, and staff, we are privileged to work in an environment that is a tremendous example of how people can come together for a common goal. Blah, 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 blah. We not only put our differences aside, but we also use them to achieve the common goal by challenging each other to do better, both in our professional and personal lives. The protests are purported against oppression and social injustices still present in our society and in every country in the world, and urged American citizens to embrace your differences, find strength in them, and come together for the good of all. Whatever. Whatever. Here's the Indianapolis Colts. They put out a statement. Go ahead and fall on the sword, guys. Go ahead and fall on the sword. If you're still going to continue this, especially now after what happened in Las Vegas, go ahead and keep them going. You want to watch your attendance implode? Go ahead and keep the protests going. 80% of the American population say you should stand during the national anthem. 80%. So fall on your sword. Here's what they say. The Indianapolis Colts. Those of us who kneeled did not intend to disrespect our flag, our national anthem, or those who serve the country. We all have family and friends who are servicemen and women. We appreciate and respect the incredible sacrifices they make. But as NFL players, we have a platform, and as Americans, we have a responsibility to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, which is so vague and stupid. Our intention was to raise awareness, continue critical conversations about real equality, the injustices against black and brown people, police brutality, respect, unity, and equal opportunity. Our players are hurting. Our people are hurting. Our neighborhoods are hurting. And kneeling was a direct response to that hurt. Well, why in the hell aren't you doing something about, out of wedlock marriage or babies? What about crime? What about the murder rate being 7 to 10 times higher in the black community than any other community? What about that? Now, what about having 5 babies by 4 different fathers and not raising them as a father? The destruction of the African-American family, generations of dependence on the government, generations of poverty, continuing cycle of violence, none of that. Blame it on the police. Distract. Back to the statement, but what makes football so special is the way it brings us together, fans, players, coaches, all of us. Well, no, we're not together right now, kids. We represent different races, backgrounds, and beliefs. We come together for a common goal. Whatever they say here, honestly, is not going to placate those who want you to stand. We respect all forms of peaceful protest, and they are protected under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. No, they're not. Not at work. Some of our players may kneel while others may stand, but this is just the beginning. There is much work to do. Good. Go to an inner city neighborhood. Become a big brother or sister. Foster. Adopt. Kneeling for justice. Standing for unity. Fighting for equality. Showing respect. Together. I'm not with you, so we're not together. We're not together. The NBA sent a memo to all teams Friday warning players and coaches if they don't stand for the anthem, they will face consequences. Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum warns teams that the league office will determine how to deal with any possible instance in which a player, coach, or trainer does not stand for the anthem. Individual teams do not have the discretion to waive the NBA rule that requires players, coaches, and staff to stand. If players violate the rule, the league will make the judgment call on how to discipline them and not the individual teams. Okay? So they say, nope, not going to do it. According to the Houston Chronicle, there's a football team at the Victory and Praise Christian Academy. Coach of the football team is a former Marine, Ronnie Mitchum. He said that you got to stand during the national anthem. All right? You've got to stand during the national anthem. Team policy. No exceptions. Two kids, Cedric Ingram Lewis, and his cousin Larry McAuliffe decided that they would protest. One of them raised a fist. The other one took a knee. Directly after the anthem, their coach, Ronnie Mitchum, walked over and said, take off your jerseys. You're done. Let him go. Bye-bye. Ingram explained after the protest that Mitchum had told the team no protest would be tolerated. So there you go. No protest. They're dumb. Mitchum, however, told the Chronicle his two players left him with no choice and explained he had to deal with the players, that none would protest, you know. He said, I'm a former Marine. Justin doesn't fly, and they knew that. I don't have any problem with these young men. We had a good relationship. They chose to do that, and they have to pay for it. Pay the consequences. Rhonda Brady, Ingram Lewis' mother and McAuliffe's aunt, told the Chronicle she supported her son and nephew, but explained the coach Swift's decision was perplexing. She said, I'm definitely going to have a conversation because I don't like the way that was handled, but I want them back on the team. A man with integrity and morals and ethics and who truly lives by that wouldn't have done anything like that. No, you're wrong, actually. No, you're wrong. He did exactly what he did if he was moral and ethical. She said, actions speak louder than words, so for him to do what he did, that really spoke volumes, and I don't want my kids or my nephew to be around a man with no integrity. Well, you're an ignoramus. She's just an ignoramus. The whole kneeling thing is getting to be a cliche. Bill Maher, for crying out, kneeled on his show, I guess Friday. I don't know what exactly he was trying to do. He was trying to show solidarity for something. I don't know. He's kind of a douche, but he did that. But there was a Massachusetts elementary school teacher who's facing a backlash because she was a substitute teacher and decided to lead the class. I believe these are third graders with the Pledge of Allegiance and take a knee.
I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. I think it's an important topic, but yeah, maybe that's maybe a difficult way to do it.
This is from NBC Boston, by the way.
The way it was done caught everyone off guard. A substitute teacher knelt while her student said the Pledge of Allegiance. School officials say the teacher went on to discuss her political views. In a letter to parents, the principal said the district respects the rights of all individuals to take part or to abstain from the pledge, but took issue with this teacher's approach, writing, while well-intended, this conversation was not part of the classroom teacher's plans and should not have taken place in the fashion it did. Some parents we spoke to had no problem with a spontaneous lesson.
I think it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. People need to start having those conversations.
Not at all. I think children should be taught that these discussions are going to happen in life. Life isn't scripted, and you should be able to, at your own home, then react to those the way you want.
But other parents told us off camera it wasn't the time or place for such a discussion, especially with younger students. Russell School houses grades 3 to 5.
Okay. No, it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. School policy should be you can stand during the national anthem. Mom and dad, a lot of schools say that, you know, if you get a note from mom and dad to not stand during the Pledge of Allegiance, that's fine. But this is not part of the lesson plan. And you know what? Keep your politics out of it and teach my kid to read. Okay, keep your damn politics out of it and teach my kid to write. All right, I would have been a little ticked off about it, to be quite honest. I've got one more story. This is how easily we are offended in this country. And a Florida woman who's an African-American went into a smoothie cafe in Gainesville, Florida, okay? And apparently somebody, one of the employees, labeled her to identify her as black chick. And this was horrendously troubling. She's terribly, terribly offended. Here's the audio from WGFL.
What would you do if you ordered a smoothie and found something other than your name on the receipt? Gainesville resident Cassandra Peoples had what she called a horrifying experience at this tropical smoothie.
Horrifying! Horrifying!
The cafe on Archer Road, where they asked for her name and they wrote this instead.
So at that time, I seen black chick where the name is supposed to be.
You're looking at a kid who's making minimum wage. Maybe they don't know how to spell Cassandra. Did you think about that? Maybe they didn't hear it. Maybe you're not the center of their universe and they don't hear your name every single time. When I meet people, I forget their name 20 seconds after I meet them.
And I'm like, I know I told them Cassandra.
After reading the description on her receipt, she tried to contact corporate, but all she got was a voicemail box.
Just get over yourselves.
I've never experienced anything disrespectful like that. You know, I wouldn't even say if I call it racist, but it's just disrespectful.
We reached out to Tropical Smoothie, and they said they had no comment, but they are contacting their lawyers. However, all she wants is an explanation.
I mean, I want some answers.
And just to call people by who she is.
Cassandra.
Okay. You know what? You know, get over yourself. Are you a black person? Are you a chick? Okay. I'm a white dude. Okay. If somebody put white dude on my receipt and didn't remember Rob, I wouldn't call corporate about it. Think about the absurdity of that. I mean, what the hell kind of racial chip is on this woman's shoulder? What sort of anal retention would drive someone to contact corporate? First of all, I never look at receipts. I very rarely look at receipts, you know, and I probably should. But white dude wouldn't have ticked me off. It's just absurd on the face of it. All right, it's time for me to end the show today. I want to thank you very much for those of you who are listening this on audio. It is episode number 178 of the Rob Carson Show, again, available for free on iTunes. Just download it and listen to it. It also is available on your Amazon Alexa. All you got to do is say the name. She's sitting right behind me, Alexa. I won't say it because she'll fire up and she'll play my latest podcast, but just say, play the Rob Carson Show podcast. And it just plays, all right? And then, of course, Liberty One TV. Liberty One TV, a glorious enterprise, and I'm very, very pleased to be a part of it. If you would, there are several plans that you can get. Subscribing, $10 a month. You can get a year for $99, and then there's a special corporate rate that's $1,000, and it includes getting your logo, your information as an official sponsor of the broadcast. There are a few other sundry benefits of it, and you will be featured on all of the glorious video podcasts that you can see on this channel. So libertyonetv.com. If you would sign up, I would greatly appreciate it because this is how I get paid. Okay, if you sign up, I get a percentage of the subscriptions. So if you like what you are hearing, libertyonetv.com, libertyonetv.com. Sign up right away. You won't miss the money. It comes right out of your checking account, off your credit card, whatever. At $10 a month, $99 or a year, or the special sponsorship rate as well. So guys, I want to thank you very much. Again, I'll say it, and I don't want to make this sound ad nauseum, but pray for the victims of the shootings in Las Vegas. Pray for the first responders. Pray for those in the hospital who are treating people and saving lives. They are amazing people. We are not worthy to breathe the same air we do, and we are blessed that we do. In the meantime, thank you to foundoflifecairo.com, Dr. Alex Nelson. Thank you very much. If you are in Kansas City, definitely check out foundoflifecairo.com and go see him. In the meantime, God bless. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.